is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, and that can be found on page 198. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm actually going to add two verses to that. Because as you finish with Philippians 4, 4 through 7, I want you to read 8 and 9 as well with me. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The peace of God. When Jesus said, "My peace I leave you," not as the world leaves, but as God does. The candle that we lit today is for peace. Peace is not just the absence of violence. When Jesus, in the Hebrew and Aramaic, when he says, "Shalom," it is not just the absence of violence. It's not the absence of enmity. It's not just purely the absence of struggle. It is peace in the presence of God, where there's no enmity, there's no anger, there's no anxiety, there are no hurt feelings. There's love, there's peace, there's joy. There's hope. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know what? When we say this is the day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Look at the person next to you. Look at the person behind you. Look at the person in front of you. Now, if you haven't suffered whiplash, I hope and pray that what you saw was joy on the faces of those that you just glanced at, that you just saw. Because rejoice in the Lord always. And if that wasn't enough, Paul says, rejoice. Again, I will say, rejoice. Why? Because he wants us happy. He wants us resting in the peace that comes by knowing that Christ Jesus has already paid the price for our sin. And that we are going to be in his presence. That's that blessed assurance. That's that amazing grace. You know, as we had a funeral, a celebration of life for Norman Dickey Taylor this week, and you, every time there's a memorial service, every time there's that celebration of life, you look at the tears that are in the family's eyes because they've lost that person. That person is no longer with us. Paul said, absent with the body, present with the Lord. That's reason for celebration. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And then there's how we're supposed to be in the world. Sydney and Sierra, the last pages of our teaching for confirmation was what? To go. In other words, what are we doing? Going forth. It said, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, but in everything. Did he leave anything out? I think he said everything. That's all things. That's leaving nothing out. And not just things, all people, all circumstances, all struggles, all anxieties, all worries, all health issues, everything in by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. He wants you to call Him. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to have a relationship in which you communicate with Him. And sometimes when we get wrapped up in that, my mouth is going 90 miles a minute. And you know what? Sometimes you just have to stop and listen. Because in a conversation, it really would be nice if we gave God a minute or two to respond and answer. And you might not just be listening with your ears, you might just look with your eyes to see if there's that beautiful sunset He arranged just for you. That wonderful sunrise that He arranged just for you. That blooming flower that He arranged just for you. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You know what? The words that Paul is using there is this peace of God is so beyond our understanding that he says it's beyond all understanding. There's no way. So there's why in the world should we try? Let us just open our hearts, open our minds, and let God in. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, all of these are good things. And they're not good things just because somebody enjoyed them. They're good things because other people can see it. This is that koinonia. This is this fellowship, this partnership that we're in. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things and keep doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen! The peace of God with you because you're doing things. You don't stay in the chapel. You don't stay in the sanctuary. You don't stay in that office building. You go into the world and you have Christ under things. You have Christ in your heart. And sometimes He's putting your lives at risk. And we here need to be praying for those who have put their lives at risk. You know, how many people have got those little orange ribbons and gold crosses? Well, you know, Campus Crusade for Christ, and I'll let Ken speak more for that. But Campus Crusade for Christ is doing a lot of things. It's not just sitting there on the campuses of our country, but actually going into other countries, Kazakhstan, Britain, etc. And I'm going to let Ken speak. But did I get the title? Ken, great. My nephew, Ken McDonald.
Kenneth James McDonald. One moment.
Turn the mic on.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As my uncle Ken said, my name is Kenneth McDonald, and he is my uncle, Pastor Ken. I graduated from Old Dominion University in 2012 and have worked with a ministry that reaches out to college students all around the world called CRU. CRU spelled C-R-U, which is the U.S. name for Campus Crusade for Christ. In this past year, I was on a team, and I was the team leader of a 10-month team of missionaries that went to Central Asia. Today, I want to share about that, share about my experiences on campuses here, as well as express my thanks for you guys praying for me, as well as the cookies that you guys sent. I'll get a little more into that in a minute. But also, I'd like to just invite you to personally meet with me to hear more. I mean, I have like maybe 10, 15 minutes here. There's so much more that God did over in Central Asia and is doing in William & Mary right here, ODU, so many schools in this area as well. So, before I really begin, I live to pray, so let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for Philippians 4 and just that it teaches us that we can come to you anytime, anywhere, and pray what is on our hearts. Thank you, Father, that you hear us and that your peace guards our hearts in Christ as we come to you. Thank you that this is true no matter where we are. Hampton Roads, Deltaville, Central Asia. Thank you for keeping us safe as we shared with students the most important message ever in Central Asia. Many had never heard the name of Jesus, let alone the gospel. Thank you for being able, for this ability just to briefly share the stories of your work. Help me to share them well, and that you would move on everyone's hearts, bringing them closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Cool. So first off, I want to express my thanks. Thank you. In Philippians 1:3, Paul describes, he starts off that verse with, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. That is the level of expression that I want to express to you. I thank you guys so much. Every time I remember Clark's Ferry, United Methodist, first and foremost for the prayers. It got down to negative 40, negative 50. And we're talking negative 40 is the same in Celsius and Fahrenheit, so it doesn't matter which scale you use. It's cold. You breathe in through your nose, it freezes, breathe out. You breathe in through your mouth, you cough because you can't breathe in through your mouth because your lungs freeze. It's not only harsh in that way, but it's also hard work for the gospel. Central Asia is a predominantly Muslim nation. And even being there, it was illegal for me to even pray with someone that was from that country. And so that's why I'm using the word Central Asia up here, rather than the country I was in. And really, it was tilling the soil. So many people there had never heard the gospel before. And really, we had to depend on personally praying, really what Philippians 4 is talking about. Okay, Lord, I'm anxious. Help me to speak with these people and share this gospel. They've never heard. They don't even know Jesus. Jesus, they might think he's like my neighbor or something. Like, let me just really explain it fully. That's really the prayers that I needed from you guys, which you guys answered, as well as personally. But then also for the cookies. I love them. They love them too. They're not really found there. They have different kind of cookies there. I love those cookies, too. But just American cookies were great. It even helped me share the gospel with people because it helped start those relationships. Hey, I'm from America. Would you like some American cookies that you can't get here? Great way to invite people into my home. So let me transition into some stories. And first one I want to talk about is a guy named Ron. It's not his real name. His real name is hard to pronounce, so just going to say Ron. So his identity as Central Asian, as I said before, kind of equals Muslim. It's kind of like Americans equal Christians, but it's stronger there because it's like full-fledged part of their cultural identity, is that to be Central Asian is to be Muslim. So with that being said, Ron showed up really out of the blue in the last 2 months that I was there. And I shared, like, he was so amazed to meet an American, because they're just crazy about Americans. It's crazy how crazy they are. And the Lord was just like, okay, use your Americanness to share the gospel. So I shared the gospel with them many times, but it really never sunk in until the second to last day that I was there. So I'm sitting there, I invited him over, and he just opens up to me and shares, like, there's so many ways to be a good person, and they're so different. Like, how can I know which way is sure? And I was like, yes, Lord, like, this is an opportunity. And he was just like, share about the resurrection. And I shared about the resurrection, how Christ said he would die, how he said he would raise from the dead, and then he did it. And then all of that guarantees the rest of what he spoke about. And he was like, oh, thank you so much for sharing with me this deep thing. 2 weeks later, I Skype him, wonderful technology, and he expresses to me, you taught me how to talk with God. And I was like, what? How did I do that? I didn't, like, sit you down and teach you. And he was like, well, you do it before you eat, and you talk to him when things are good and when things are bad. And you even talk to him for me. And now, he said, I talk to God every night before I go to bed. Oh, so amazing, because it is so huge for a Muslim to have a personal prayer life with the Lord. Most of the time, it's memorized Arabic, especially in the country I was in. They don't know what they're saying when they pray those prayers. So for him to have a personal relationship with God was like, oh, Lord. So story doesn't end there either. I learned a little later that the next day he met up with a local believer and just spent 14 hours with him sharing, like, going through the Bible, through Scripture, through just the other local believers, like, experiences with the gospel. And now they meet up every week. And he's just so excited to learn more and more about God. Now, he hasn't chosen to follow Christ yet. There's many cultural barriers. I mean, to choose Christ, your culture feels betrayed, but also your family. But he is so close, and it could be any day. And really, from my time there, God has taught me how to share the gospel with non-believers, more specifically Muslims. And honestly, it's what's in this passage right here. It's praying, asking God to move in their lives, and then seeing and taking every opportunity that he presents to you. I think I shared the gospel one time because the guy was like, hey, I'm looking for a book to read. I just finished a book. And I was like, well, you know, the Bible is like the book that has every genre in it. It's got a pretty crazy plot twist when the Lord of all, like, comes in and, like, dies for us. Like, no one would have known that from the beginning of the Bible. So yeah, that's really a brief story from Central Asia. But I also have been working here in the Tidewater area. And there was recently a Christmas party that had over 150 college students from all the campuses in this area. ODU, CNU, or Old Dominion University, Christopher Newport, William & Mary, TCC, Virginia Wesleyan College, even some Richmond ones that I don't remember the names of right now. But it was just so awesome to see them all, like, together, worshiping the Lord. And the Lord really spoke to my heart and was saying, each one of these is an expression of my faithfulness, is an expression of me working in this world. So one of them I'd like to share about is a guy named Ryan. Ryan's from Richmond. He was the chaplain of his senior class in high school the year before I met him. And he just came to ODU, just totally burnt out, wanted to, as he says, thug it up and have fun, really meaning like walking away from God. But God crossed our paths in my senior year at ODU and caused us to meet, and we began meeting up. As we met, we went through Scripture together, and God totally transformed Ryan. Suddenly, Ryan went from this guy who didn't really want to study Scripture at all, didn't want to know, or really thought following God was just rules and so draining, to a guy who just now loves to read Scripture, loves God. And God has given him a fervent desire to share the gospel with international students. So he is in his senior year right now at ODU, and they've just started a ministry to international students there, too. And it's amazing. They have, like, 14 people. In they just had, like, Thanksgiving meal and then was able to share the gospel. So, with all this being said, God is moving. God is answering prayers. He's answering prayers here. He's also answering prayers in Central Asia. And really, he is bringing the true peace that is found in Christ to people's hearts. So finally, I would like to personally invite you to hear more about what God is doing and ways that you can individually partner with my ministry. I am, for the foreseeable future, going to be working as a missionary here in the Hampton Roads area, reaching college students. I want to see them radically transformed by the gospel and then mobilized to take that gospel into the whole world, whether that's the business world, medical world, United States, overseas, full-time Christian work, whatever, I am increasingly convinced that this is how the Great Commission is going to get finished. Not just partially done, but done. And so I would love to meet with each of you personally this week to share ways you can partner, as well as share more. And so I'll be meeting with people on Tuesday and Wednesday, if you guys have available time. I'd love to meet with you. I'll probably be standing over here by the door as you guys leave. But yeah, thank you so much. I always love being able to share what God has done and then what God has put on my heart to do. So thanks again. Amen.
As Kent said, he's inviting each of you. Please be seated.